This is the morning brief from the Economic Times.
I would have been a super spreader in Bangalore. Prior to getting positive, I was tested negative twice. I could have gone out, met my friends, gone to the market. I could be anywhere. I go to office. So I could have spread the virus everywhere. I realized that this is something which is not normal and I should get myself tested. 11th of September is when I went to a primary healthcare center, which is of Government of Karnataka, VBMP, and I got myself tested. I did the first test, which is a rapid test, which turned out to be negative. I went back on 13th of September, again to a primary healthcare center, asked the doctor that I am symptomatic right now and I should get myself tested again. He did a rapid test again, and again it came out to be negative. But somewhere I was not very convinced. I asked the doctor after 10 minutes, like, "No, doctor, I think there is something wrong. Can you just get myself tested with RT-PCR? They said, "It is not necessary. You have tested negative twice. It is not necessary." So I said, "No, I don't think, because the symptoms are not normal and I think I should get myself tested with RT-PCR. So he took my samples from my nose and my mouth, and next day morning I got my results as COVID-19 positive.
I was in a place an hour from Indore, a small cantonment area, where I think there are one or two bath labs, and the rest are collection agencies with the main lab in Indore. The first test, I was the only one who tested positive. And 4 days later, we did another test and it came out negative. So perhaps the first one was a false positive. Now, I noticed a couple of things. Unlike the second wave or the first wave, there was a bit of lax behavior from the technicians. They're wearing gloves, but no PPE suits for one. I also wasn't very convinced about their training. The way they inserted the swabs, it really hurt. The technicians also were in a tearing hurry. They seemed to be under a lot of rush because of the work pressure. They said 12 to 14 samples they have to collect every day. We have all the large national path labs in big cities, metros, or even tier 1, tier 2 cities, but what happens beyond that, I'm not so sure.
I'm Saisha Zakha and I'm from Delhi, and my COVID testing experience was a little different. I had all the symptoms and there were people in my family who tested positive. I literally went through everything that ticks the box for having COVID, and I ended up being negative my first test. I took another one 2 days later. That was also negative. I still self-quarantined. And I waited for 7-8 days and I got tested again. And I was again negative. All these tests were RT-PCRs. But I'm convinced that I had COVID.
New Delhi to Goa, Nagpur to Bareilly, Cochin to Kolkata. It's deja vu. The last fortnight has seen COVID-19 cases spike every single day, leading to record high demand for immediate and accurate testing as India grapples with the Omicron variant. Less lethal than the Delta so far, but more widespread. Demand-supply gaps, small-town challenges, false positives or negatives, record surge in demand for home testing. Adding to that, the shortage of technicians who are themselves getting infected and pressures on turnaround time. Are India's COVID labs overwhelmed? Is testing overload compromising on quality? Are home kits the solution? And are tests even being adapted to new variants? Earlier this week, ICMR said results on home rapid antigen tests will be considered final and will not need validation with RT-PCR tests. RT-PCR or reverse transcription polymerase chain reaction, the gold standard of COVID testing. In today's episode of The Morning Brief, we bring you leading voices at the center stage of the COVID testing universe. I'm your host Ratna Bhushan. It's January 13th, and you're listening to Testing Times on The Morning Brief. We have with us Dr. Om Manchanda, Managing Director of India's largest diagnostic lab, Dr. Lal Path Labs, Adar Poonawalla-backed home test kit maker, MyLab Discovery Solutions, Managing Director Hasmukh Rawal, and Manipal Hospital's Managing Director Dilip Jose. They bring us much needed clarity on the subject. Here's what Dr. Manchanda has to say about why inaccuracies may show up in certain kinds of testing and how to deal with the situation. There have been reports of false positives and negatives from various cities, both metros and smaller markets. So why is this happening?
See, there are broadly two kinds of diagnostic tests which are usually performed. One of them is RT-PCR test. It is also seen as a gold standard test for COVID testing. And second is rapid antigen test. Now, there are both advantages and disadvantages of these two kinds of tests. So I'll first talk about RT-PCR. As I mentioned, it is seen as a gold standard test. But the challenge with this test is it takes much more longer time and it has to be done in a centralized environment with all the biosafety precautions. On the other side, rapid antigen test is very quick. There are also kits available where we can do at home. But the challenge with that test is sometimes you get false negatives as well. Since your question is that people are experiencing false negatives and false positives. So first I'll talk about RT-PCR. In my view, if it is done properly, then there is no possibility of a false negative or false positive in this situation. However, one can still get a false negative if the sample is not properly collected, or my sense is if it's not taken at the right time as well. False positive can appear only in a situation if there is a contamination in the lab environment where the proper biosafety protocols are not followed. So otherwise, in my view, RT-PCR is accurate. However, it is accepted that rapid antigen test, one will get false negatives. And that is mainly possible because that's actually declared also, but it is said that if patient is having symptoms and the test is negative, then that same patient is advised to go for RT-PCR test. So that is the reason why one can get false negatives, especially in these tests.
Which brings us to the challenges private labs are dealing with amid record high demand for testing.
Labs are facing four kinds of challenges. First challenge that all labs face is that the moment there's a demand surge for COVID testing, the pattern of demand shifts to home collections. Home collections are requested not only for COVID, but also for non-COVID tests. And the demand surge is so sudden that the reaction times from labs actually becomes very, very difficult to service this demand immediately. Now, the challenge with home collection pattern of demand is the productivity of phlebotomist, the person who collects a sample, drops very sharply. Just to give you a comparison, if we collect samples in the lab versus the samples if we collect at home, one would need 4 to 5 times more manpower. So that's challenge number one. And labs have to arrange this manpower immediately. And this is what we have experienced now. Because in the last 10 days, the demand really has surged. And this learning actually we had from wave 2, we responded by a lot of tech applications like consumer apps, etc. People can book online, pay online. So the whole cycle time for testing is reduced. The second challenge that we face is call center volumes. The number of calls that we have been receiving now actually has gone up 5 to 6 times. And one customer complaint has adverse multiplier effect because the same person is calling up call centers, he or she calls up some employee in the system, or he or she calls up collection center. The third challenge that we are facing now is RT-PCR test takes much longer. There is anxiety on the part of patient to know the results immediately. Either patient needs some kind of medication or the patient has to travel or catch a flight. This really puts a lot of pressure on our turnaround time and meeting requirements for different kinds of customers. The fourth challenge that we are facing these days, which actually was much lesser in wave two, that our own staff is getting infected. So on one side, you have a situation where demand is going up. On the other side, where manpower availability is going down. So it's like a situation where candle is burning at both ends. So I think these are four main challenges labs face. I think there's one more, which is a minor challenge. Forecasting of demand is becoming very difficult. So at times, material planning becomes a challenge to how much to order. Because in last wave, we saw that we were suddenly stuck with the shortage of certain kits. And when we ordered more, and then we also had excess inventory of the same kits.
So how are you fixing this?
We actually are hiring more and more people. And we also run training centers in-house for a lot of phlebotomists. So we are trying to arrange a lot of people from on demand, on outsource basis as well. So there's a lot of temporary staffing that has been done in the recent past to match this demand.
So here's where home testing comes in. It's affordable and immediate. The numbers are staggering. 5 lakh kits of CoviSelf alone sold between January 1st to 7th in Mumbai, or 5 to 10,000 self-test kits being sold every day in Delhi, and so on. The ICMR has approved 7 at-home COVID test kits so far, and the kits cost anywhere between Rs. 250 to 350. Raval, whose company has sold lakhs of home kits of CoviSelf in the past 10 days alone, tells us more on the subject. He also talks about whether home testing is a big city thing.
From December last week till date, we have almost seen 400 to 500% surge on the total requirement of our CoviSelf tests. It shows most of the awareness and preparedness of the people to get tested themselves and get reported themselves.
So if we compare the demand from the Delta variant to now, there's been a significant step up, right?
Yes, it is indeed.
Okay. Is this largely an urban-centric phenomena?
In the beginning, yes, we see that it is most of the urban-centric phenomena. But the most of the success of CoviSelf, I think it is in the rural area. The time it reaches rural people where most of the healthcare infrastructure is not in place. And if people can do test themselves, identify themselves as positive, isolate themselves and get treated if it is needed. I think that is the biggest success of CoviSelf.
Can we have a split between urban and small town sales?
I'll still say it is now 80-20 or maybe 85-15. But we would soon expect it to happen, let's say 60-40 or 50-50.
But then what about the accuracy of home testing kits? Raval explains.
The difference between self-antigen test and the RT-PCR test is though both are detecting viruses, the self-antigen test don't amplify the signal. So if there is a minor signal of the test or virus, it may not be picked up by antigen test in the beginning. So it's called window period. So you might miss very early infection or a very late infection. But when the symptoms are arising, there's a very, very high chance that an antigen test will not miss it.
So is there any way to fix this issue as technology advances? Is this an addressable issue in the long term?
Yes, indeed. In fact, as we are speaking, my lab has been already working on a breakthrough technology for last 1.5 years. And we are almost on launching a product in next couple of months, maybe before March. wherein we would be able to address this issue, not only picking the signal, amplifying it and detecting it as accurate as RT-PCR, but also in faster time. We are looking at a window period of 2 minutes from sampling to reporting.
According to Jose, inaccurate reporting isn't all that glaring, at least in some of the bigger cities. My colleague Dia finds out more.
What do you have to say about the whole testing process that's in place? Are you seeing a lot of people with false negatives or false positives?
I have so far not seen that in our network, at least. The one thing to be noted is that the testing volume has suddenly gone up. You know, in the last 7 or 8 days, we are doing maybe twice or maybe even 2.5 times the number of tests that we were doing maybe a month ago. Basically, because more people are feeling symptomatic or there are concerns about, you know, the Omicron situation. So people are coming to the hospital to test for sure. But we are not seeing any unusual number of errors in reporting.
So are small cities a weak link in India's battle with COVID testing? Let's hear from Dr. Manchanda and Jose.
In my view, accuracy of testing has nothing to do with small city or a large city. As I mentioned earlier, if you follow all the protocols as laid down for this testing, especially biosafety protocols inside the lab and proper collection of the sample, there is no way you can have a false negative or false positive results.
That certainly remains a concern, whether the smaller towns or even rural areas are equipped to handle the number of tests which would be demanded. But maybe the flip side is, if people are not feeling significant symptoms, if as Omicron is expected to show milder symptoms, I do not know whether many people would realize that, you know, they have COVID symptoms and may want to get tested. I think that may suppress the demand artificially in some parts if people don't really connect their symptoms. The load currently is in the urban areas, maybe because awareness is more, concern is more. That could also inflate the number of tests.
Even so, is the cost of testing a deterrent? Despite testing costs in India valued at a fifth of what, say, the US charges, large numbers of middle and lower income families still can't afford private testing. Dr. Manchanda says a lot of ground has been covered, but of course, there's room for more.
I think it's not anymore. It used to be last year or year before that. When, if you recall, this test prices started with 4,500, then it came down to in the range of 2,000 plus minus. Now, I think most states, the pricing is around 500-600 rupees. So I don't think it's a deterrent anymore. And my sense is that you can't further reduce it much because most of the cost on this test is now manpower related cost.
And here is some data to crunch on.
What I have just noticed that last 10 days, if we were doing 100 tests, let's say on 31st December, now I think it has gone up close to 8-9 times from that time. So that's the kind of jump that we have seen. However, let's see how it really goes. A lot of at-home testing is also taking place, which is that rapid antigen test compared to, I think in last wave, most of testing was RT-PCR testing, but it's been constantly on the rise in the last 8, 9, 10 days since the time wave 3 started.
For all the testing surge, there's still another bottleneck, that of reporting. Health officials have stated that there's a whole lot of positive results on self-testing going unreported. I asked Rahul to elaborate.
Most of the people, even if they are not reporting, I don't see any incentive for these people not to do it. Number one, what we are encouraging people is a positive report, handy positive report is a valid report. You do not need to spend further on a RT-PCR test to do a confirmative test. This is a valid report. Number two, once a report is with you, if any emergency comes, whether it is treatment or emergency admission, this report is valid. Third and most important is if you're eligible for insurance, whether it is a government scheme or a private scheme, without reporting in hand, no treatment expenses may be accounted. So I think it is more of a benefit to have a handy report than not to have it. Even if you have a positive report, nobody is going to come catch you, catch hold of you and quarantining you in an institutional basis. You are advised to be at home and take care of yourself.
Jose told Dia what's really required is a checklist for testing and that not every contact of a positive person needs to be tested.
We've been discussing that in the last few days internally as well. One is that we should have our testing criteria very clear. CMR has announced a revised criteria, I think, which makes a lot of sense, that every contact of a positive case need not be tested. Maybe we should test only high-risk cases. I think a criteria, a checklist to decide who is to be tested, I think that is useful. It is important to curtail the number of tests and ensure that the people who genuinely need a test are provided with one very soon. For example, people who are elderly, immunocompromised, other kind of comorbidity risk, people of that kind, I think that risk, I think we should be prioritizing them.
So is there a glaring gap between demand and supply in terms of the number of accredited labs, which can do rigorous and accurate testing? And what are the solutions? Some of the solutions, says Dr. Manchanda, lie in third-party audits and accreditation. Jose says the potential demand-supply imbalance could occur if technicians themselves fall sick. Rawal signs off by terming the home testing as the beginning of a new era, adding that India has potential for a lot more players and investments. He adds that the ones venturing into the space shouldn't see it only as a business opportunity and that they're working towards doubling production cycles in a little over a fortnight. I'm Ratna Bhushan and you've been listening to Testing Times on The Morning Brief. Producers for the episode, Dia Rekhi and Swati Joshi from Awaaz. Sound editor, Saundarya Jayachandran from Awaaz. Executive producer, Arijit Barman. We hope you enjoyed listening to the episode. Do send in your feedback to themorningbrief@timesgroup.com and do share the episode on your social media. The Morning Brief airs every Tuesday, Thursday and Friday. Thank you for listening and have a nice day ahead. All external sound clips used in this episode belong to their respective owners. Credits are mentioned in the description.